Good morning. My name is Sean Castile. I'm the state soybean specialist at Purdue University, and my co-author is Bob Nilsen, the state corn specialist. So we're going to talk a little bit about agronomic management in Indiana, and kind of going old school now. We talked about videos and webinars. Well, we're going back to direct mail outs and printed questionnaires. So today I'll overview some of the numbers with Indiana on the corn and soybean side, look about the survey background and response rate, and then get into some of the specifics, but not all of them, row widths, variety selections, seed rates, and so forth. Indiana, in terms of total production, we're number 4 in soybean production in the U.S. and number 5 in corn production in the U.S. Both have about 5.5 million acres in the state, and in terms of our yields in 2009, about 49 bushels to the acre in soybeans and 171 and corn, both above the national average and definitely a good player in the industry of soybean and corn. But today in the survey, we really just want to create a baseline for agronomic management across the line of soybean and corn, and also try to see if there are some similarities and some differences. But today I just really hit some of the baseline information. With this, we conducted a direct mail-out survey. We were supported by the Indiana Soybean Alliance and the Indiana Corn Marketing Council as a good venture to kind of create some goodwill between the associations and the university and get the good interactions with the producers. Also brought in the Indiana Agriculture Statistics Service. They're the ones that really put the wheels on the ground with this. They've got the farmer contacts. They helped us with the data organization as well as interpretation. And so all the IRB and make sure that we don't know who we're talking to, they took care of that business for us, and then we worked together to analyze the data. It's a 4-page survey. We had 28 questions with multiple parts per question, and we surveyed 5,000 producers. This was sent out late winter 2010, so early spring, and so this year based on the 2009 production practices. With that, we had a response rate of about 24%, and it goes in line with similar surveys of the past, and then also looked at, well, what was the percentage of the acreage covered. It was about 8% of the acres of corn and soybeans were represented by the respondents, about 875,000 acres. Average farm size based on these producers. These producers that were targeted were known to be corn and soybean producers, not just a little bit of everything, but known to have corn and soybean acres. So that average farm size was 735 acres, about 50-50 split in terms of the acreage. In terms of the rotation, is about 72% were in a typical corn soybean rotation, shifting on down to about 7% were in a corn soybean rotation over 3 years, and then flip that a little bit, and 6% were a corn soybean rotation. You have a few percentages that are missing out there. We have about 3% of continuous corn, about 3% or so was continuous soybean, and a little mix of others. With that, I'll kind of jump into some of the management results and lay out this slide and the coming slides as well. We'll have the variable here on the left, and corn 09 and soybean 09 represent the survey that I've just described and explained based on the 2009. The soil 5 is referencing Conley et al. He collected a survey back in 2005 on soybean production practices, so then it's nice to have this comparison of where we've gone in just 4 years. So with that, so this slide and very similar slides will be laid out. On the corn side, we have just under 90% is within the 30-inch row width. Following that, we go to 9%. On the greater than 30 inches. And as you drive across the state, you see some speckling of some ultra narrow row, 20-inch corn or 15-inch or some twin rows, but in terms of the number of people that are really doing this based on their survey, it's 1%. What's interesting is on the soy side, we've got what I consider the ultra narrow row, that'd be less than 10 inches or our drill, and then looking at the narrow row, a 15 or 20-inch. Overall, based on the 2005, it was about 87% of those acres were in this narrow to ultra-narrow row. The ultra-narrow, the drills were 52% in 2005. Those dropped down 7% with the four years later. So we're seeing a switch a little bit from the drill rows down to what's more just a 15-inch, you know, the split rows or an air seater. And so looking at that shift and how that's influencing their management styles and practices. The wide rows on beans are still about the same. We've got some areas that have white mold, and so we like to have some good aeration, so that's a pretty common practice as well. What about the number of varieties or number of hybrids that are selected? Has there been any differences or similarities between corn and soybeans? On this front, we show a little more distribution on the corn side, about even between 1 to 2 hybrids, 3 to 4, or 5 to 10. So a broader range in what they're selecting and planting. When you look at the soybean side, we're upwards of 85% between 1 to 4 varieties. Again, looking from the 2005 survey to 2009, we see about 10% decrease from just having 1 to 2 varieties. So this is actually a good thing to see for us, that we're no longer just having 1 or 2 varieties, that they're shifting more toward having the 3 or 4 varieties on their farm, spreading that risk from disease management, or just spreading out their management for production or harvest, different maturity groups. So it's nice to see this kind of change. Another question that kind of followed up with this is, what are the essential points for you as a producer with your seed selection? So we gave them 3 choices amongst a number of factors, 1 being essential, 2 being important, and 3 being not important at all. So in that kind of scheme, the top 3 players in this, for both corn and soybeans, were yield potential and yield consistency, so around that 60 to 70% mark. That's essential for them in seed selection. The next one is this reputation for good seed quality. Just knowing that industry is producing good seed quality year in, year out, that's important to them, about 50% of the respondents. And then when you look at a little bit of a shift, and you can imagine where this would be the case, herbicide tolerance, we have the soybean side edging out over the corn. Again, you look at the glyphosate resistance or Liberty Link resistance as well, being a bigger player for management. And then on the flip side, insect resistance is more important, obviously, on the corn side than soybeans. So it's pretty intuitive, but it's nice to have that background. An interesting point on this is we asked, what were your most important or essential sources of information for variety selection? And so 45% of the respondents said their own farm yield trials, 45% of the time. The next closest was the seed industry's yield trials, and then the universities at 19 and 18%. And so that gives us kind of where does our educational efforts need to be focused on, and make sure that, you know, we're talking this through, that the university as well as seed company trials are the same, but they're edging their own farm trials at a higher level. What about seed rates? This has been kind of a hot topic in both the corn and the soybean industry. And the question we posed to them, what is your seeding rate today, 2009, when the survey was done, versus 10 years ago? So on the corn side, we gave the categories of less than 25,000 all the way up to greater than 40,000 seeds per acre. So 10 years ago, most were within this less than 25,000 to just topping out to 34,000. And then they've shifted. They've shifted up with an increase of about 5,000 seeds. And what's interesting is that 25% that planted less than 25,000 is shifted over to 26 to 29,000. And then the vast majority, that were close to 70% 10 years ago at 26 to 29, they've also shifted up to more the 30 to 34,000 range. And with industry bringing in some different hybrids, there said there'd be better performers with higher seeding rates, or we get different row orientations where they say a twin row needs to be higher. You can kind of see the shift and where it might be coming from. On the opposite side, we see soybeans seeing a decrease in the seeding rate. And so there's several points here. Let's think about what was going on about 10 years ago. You know, 96 is when we first had glyphosate resistant soybeans introduced. So we had about 3 years with glyphosate resistance. We no longer have to really up the seeding rate as a means of cheap weed competition or weed control. Also looking at a management style where the glyphosate was helping us out. And then also, as the varieties have been continued to increase, they've also increased the cost. And so this matching up of what's agronomically, what's economically viable. And then finally, you kind of like to pat yourself on the back. Maybe some of the talks that you give about reducing seeding rates are actually coming through. And we'll say it will. I don't know whether that's true or not. But that's right. That's right. So we've seen the shift that we no longer really see the high seeding rates of 200, 250,000. They've shifted between 126 to 200,000 seeds per acre. Another point with this is that we've seen a little bit of shift from the drills to 15 inches, so maybe we're also looking at better seed placement. We don't have to worry about 30% being too high, too low, and then right in the middle. That's another component. And then to back up that, we know what we're talking about, and you know, we'd like to have that sweet spot of plant stands around 120,000 plants by harvest, and so that kind of, again, hopefully matches up with what the producers are starting to do and starting to listen, as well as what they're seeing on their own economics. What about variable seeding rates? We've got a lot of toys now. What can we do or what should we do? And so the question was asked, do you vary your seeding rate? 58% said no. Once they set it and go. They don't change it at all. 34% say they vary it from field to field. And then those that have the ability to do it, changing within a field, we only had about 8%. So they've got the toys. Some are using it just because they can. Others are using it because there's a perceived benefit. And so some of those reasons were soil types are a typical reason for varying the seeding rate, the variety or the hybrid, and then yield history, looking at yield math and kind of changing that up potentially in the low yielding areas in soybeans. Maybe they're up in the seeding rate. So they never really gave a good indication which way, but that's some of the points that they've looked at. Seed treatment. I'm going to concentrate a little more on the soybean side with this one. Specifically, looking at the untreated in 2005 was about 64% of the respondents. In 2009, we've gone to 34, so a 30% decrease in the amount of untreated acres. And most of that's going into the insecticides, and then growth regulators, and inoculants. So, again, we've seen it in the marketplace, and we've seen it as they've responded, where our seed treatment's going. And with that, another interesting point, they say 92% of their seed and corn should make harvestable plants. And they expect 87% of their soybean seed planted to make harvestable plants. Looks very similar to what our germ scores are, and not necessarily put anything with emergence potential. Again, some educational probabilities there. Fungicides, I'm going to skim over a little bit, but just make the point at the bottom here. Soybean fungicide use has been on a steady increase from 10 to 15 to 23% from 2005 to 2009 season. And corn's been about the same, 23%. Okay? We surveyed a number of other topics, but I'd like to present that at another time, and especially the who do they go to person. I'll tell you one thing, it's not us. It's less than 3% at the state level and less than 1% at the county level. So as a review, we have most of our corn and soybean acres are planted in yield-maximizing row widths. We also have varieties that are being selected at a wider range and also looking at good seed quality characteristics. And we'll get to the last slide here to kind of wrap up. What's the most challenging agronomic factors in your production? And so they rank their top three. And of their top three, unpredictable weather was at the top. Variety performance, poorly drained soils. Those top three by respondents are the ones that they're shooting for and say, we need help. And so some of that is going to come in with our management, some is in our breeding efforts, and so looking to the future, what can we do to help them? And with that, it's election season. I appreciate your vote, and if you have any questions.